Are there parts of motherhood that did not come naturally?
Do you feel overwhelmed? Are there secrets you wish you knew in advance about the motherhood journey?
Could you use a place to cope with motherhood, laugh your woes away, and lighten the mommy guilt?
Welcome to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance.
Welcome back to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about relinquish. They are not your deadlines. Torn tribe, with our kids going back to school and them being in the stages that they're at, especially me, Athena, here, I will confess, I have been struggling with relinquishing their deadlines that they have for school. Memes, I don't know if you struggle with this.
It's just carving out the time to anticipate, you know, the projects, the time, the expectations, the wanting to do the review and the enrichment. Like, we did it all summer and it felt manageable because it was like on a certain schedule while I was off and on another schedule when I was back at work, but still lots of flexibility and time to do it. And then you get back into the hustle and bustle and it's really, it's hard to find that sweet spot of what's our new flow and how much notice do I have for things that we have to get done, and then get down to it with a good demeanor where your kid's not in tears because they have to do their work with you or whatever it is. So I struggle because, you know, just starting second grade, a lot of it still feels like things we want to create good habits around. And I still know I have like some of my own habits to fix in my own work style and professional life, you know, with busy times and managing times. So I definitely feel that stress too.
Yeah. So Torn Tribe, I think this is a common pressure we put on ourselves as parents, because being parents, we always hear there's things that we can constantly be doing to be a better parent. And I think subconsciously for me that that goes to say, well, my kid should be an A student. My child should be graduating with honors. And so naturally being type A, I overdo it. And so it sparked in me memes because I'm like, man, Sasha is a senior in college. And who knew that just like his SATs, his mother would be more stressed out about his graduating than he is, right? So again, the SATs, I was like, how are you not stressed out? Aren't you supposed to be stressed out? It's your junior year of high school. You should feel the pressure. And here we are, his senior year of college, and who's feeling the pressure of a thesis and all the edits that need to get in, and the honors like cord being around his neck and him walking across that stage. Once again, his mom. And what caused me to notice this red flag, Torn Tribe, is that I'm actually serving now in a youth group. And that was one of the prayer requests. There was a junior and she's feeling the pressure of junior year, and actually hearing someone else's child confess about the pressure and desire prayer to not feel that pressure made me check myself and say, once again, Athena, you do not have to go through a season of completion. Like, we're towards the end of the race here, guys, of Sasha's like educational career, right? The big hurrah, getting the undergrad degree. And we should be doing it with joy and gladness. And so what we're hoping to share on this episode, some of the freedom that you can find in relinquishing some of that pressure. And it does not mean we neglect the deadlines, Torn Tribe, or move homework to the weekends, because I fully believe in no homework on Saturday and Sunday. But some of the things that we've started implementing in our lives to kind of relinquish that pressure and do it with more joy.
I think your reflection also makes me think about some of the other things that we sometimes advise in, like, where we're sending our children to school and norms that we want them to have, like the no homework on the weekends and making sure you're not leaving things to the last minute in a way that it impedes, you know, other family events or other priorities. But it's that we have to kind of accept who our littles and children are growing into and how they function, which is about, like, what are our managed expectations about what they will feel successful about? Like, with, of course, keeping in mind being motivating or helping them overcome obstacles or find strategies. But I really do think it's also what have we really accepted as they're getting older and more independent as what their purpose is. Right? What did they put in? How are they going to feel successful or proud of the end result? Because, you know, as early as it is, I think I mentioned in another podcast when Sophie's reflection on her teacher making her start an art project again. I'm like, well, you weren't doing what she asked you to do. But she was pretty resolute that she was indignant that her original masterpiece wasn't what her teacher accepted. I'm like, well, I'm with your teacher. If there was a strategy or a type of art she was accomplishing with you and you weren't there, and then her teacher's like, all of them had to start over. I was like, well, that's here nor there to me. Like, even if it was just her, if the feedback was, this is our goal and you haven't moved towards the goal, my kid was like, my art was what she wanted us to do, and the professional said it wasn't. So I'm like, let's take the feedback and move. Instead of moving the finish line closer, so start again.
Yeah. But I think you're onto something with the acceptance, right? I think that's part of helping them establish a work strategy, a work ethic that mm-hmm. they can then continue to carry out all throughout their adulthood. So I had to come to accept that Sasha works best under pressure. So he tends to, in my eyes, not manage his time very well. Where in his eyes, he knows that he spends more time doing research because the actual execution of the writing is easy for him. He's like, as long as I have all the facts and I've been thinking about all the facts, and like, mom, to you, my chaos is not orderly. It's ordered in his mind. And therefore, he is successful to cross the finish line and often exceeds expectations. Whereas now, like Torn Tribe, I would say, where the question I often ask myself is, when do you know that is truly your child's style? Well, for Sasha, I recognized it his eighth grade year, because that was the first year that he wasn't fully homeschooled. He was doing the university model schooling, and other teachers, like he got exposure to different teachers, and each teacher had their own way of what was considered an organized binder or an organized way of handing in work. So he had one teacher that she would break up assignments for them, and they had these multiple deadlines, right, to get them to the end product. Whereas another teacher would let him just hand it all in on a said day, and you had to fully submit your final product, right? And so observing him there and making him reflect on why certain classes he deemed easier than others, we would take that into account. So that's when we started accepting how Sasha actually pulls us up together. With my second son, we're in that mode right now. It's sixth grade that he's beginning to define his work style. Because prior to this, he had to submit to my work style because he needed so much help with doing everything that we didn't really have time or the leisure to be able to do it his way. But this year, because he's a little more independent and is at a better reading level and able to understand math a little bit better, I'm letting him own it and find the pockets of time that he has and when he thinks he works better to start navigating that. But always with the boundaries of being aware of what his deadlines are, what's mm-hmm. the teacher's expectations, and calling him out when I see that he's purposely cutting corners. Like, wait a minute, no. It's like, you could do it now, but then you actually have to do it. Not half the assignment or the parts of the assignment that you enjoy, and then you miss everything else. But my third son, Zeke, I noticed his work style when he was four, and he is an overachiever and really cares not what his parents think, but his teachers. So whoever is the authority figure in a classroom, that's who he's aiming to please. So he doesn't need my structure throughout the day. Like, he'll read his assignments and then he prioritizes doing the harder ones first so that he can end with the easier. And he just naturally got there. And well, we all, if you guys ever get to meet Zeke in person, you'll recognize his personality is very relational and strategic. All with love though. And then Phil, we're trying to figure that out. Like, he's having a hard time at kindergarten, not in the sense of the material, but in the sense of discipline to actually sit down and do it. So I'm exposing him to the way that I structure work and the way that I do work to see if that is going to, like, that's what we're going to do for this first quarter of school, is do it my way. Second quarter of school, we'll do it dad's way. And then third quarter, we'll do a hybrid. And then hopefully by the fourth quarter of school, he'll have kind of his own opinion of what he thinks. But right now, I'm exposing him to the way that I would do the work because he's a blank slate. He's never been in school. He's in kindergarten. Yeah,
I agree. And right now, my bar is way above my 7-year-old's bar. She is about getting it done. She dislikes that it's almost like she's insulted it's been assigned.
Like, I showed up, isn't that enough?
Yeah, she's just like, oh, she came out of school, the first thing she told me, oh, my teacher doesn't give homework on Fridays because one of her great aunt had scared her a little and was just like, well, second graders get a lot of work. She comes and says, mommy, is that true? Almost like she wasn't going to show up if that was what was being advertised. And I'm like, you're going to get more work, but you know, it's about how you manage it. You're not going to leave it to last minute. And right now I'm having thoughts about this teacher because it's not enough work. And I don't want her to start coasting on this expectation that that's all that's going to take. And it either ramps up suddenly, it's not enough practice for her, because I know we had a really structured, like, it had to be after school. We didn't leave things till the weekend, all of that. But I am more of a, it was asked and I would need some prompting, but I didn't really rebel on those things. So my like the conversations we have to have about things irritate me a bit. I'm just like, this is just a part of life. Sit down, write your name at the top of this paper, and let's get started.
Come on, David Richardson, sit down.
And so with the handwriting, and she, similar to Zeke, she considers her source. Things that she's doing with certain grandparents is different than other grandparents. Things that she does with me. Her handwriting looks distinctly different when she's writing with me. But what I don't understand is that she knows I'm looking at all of it. And she knows I am furious with an eraser. So I don't know why. I'm like, girl, you wanted to do this twice. So it's interesting because seeing that the bar and, you know, and I've shared before, Sophie's idea of rules and how things have to be, she's artistic and loves when she can do it her way. And I, with academics, I'm very different. I am a believer of know the rules before you can break them. So our philosophies are already at odds. We'll see where we land. And it's interesting because the following the rules part. So I think even in my pedagogy, I have to evaluate what happens to students this way. She shares all the information. She wants to return things on time. Like, there's certain things that go with the not wanting to do work that Soph doesn't exhibit that I think show her investment in the process. I just think perhaps project-based learning or things that show layers of her learning, not in a rote, repeat the same activity over and over kind of style, would probably serve her better. Mm-hmm. So it's also interesting to like see that there's never a bowing out of her extracurriculars and her creativity in making things. And, you know, she was writing a menu the other day and she called it Sophie's World's Best or something, Best World. And even though I told her what she meant was World's Best, her menu remained Sophie's Best World. And but inside, the kids' menu and the adult menu had drinks and drawings, and she was highlighting top rated or most requested dishes, right? So concept there, very creative, all the things to pretty much be able to open up shop and have a restaurant. So I kind of try to balance the things that are my style and my expectation and the teacher in me, but the people pleaser in me, to her strengths, and then seeing that excellence.
Yeah.
And she takes the feedback well, which is also a strength, you know, and pushes back well.
You don't have to always accept the feedback to hear the feedback.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I think that's some of the keys to Torn Tribe is accepting your child's style, giving them room to explore so that they can find their style, or ways that we have found to relinquish this pressure and understand that their deadlines, their assignments are theirs and not ours. And so here are some of the red flags that tell me when I am not relinquishing that pressure. One, I start getting up in the middle of the night because of their deadlines. And I start strategizing how we're going to get it done. The other very vocal one is if I find myself bringing the topic up to them more than them bringing it up to me. Mm-hmm. And this is huge, Torn Tribe. Once your kid is in second grade, believe me, they know when something is due. And they feel the pressure to show up because everybody else in their class is going to be showing up. So when you miss like certain, like whether it's spirit day, like we had a wacky Tuesday or something that we didn't dress so wacky. I heard about it. I heard about it for a year after it happened to make sure it never happened again to said child that, you know, he missed out and participate. So believe me, they're fully aware of what their deadlines are. They're also, by second grade, fully aware of teacher expectations and like expectations of others who they're submitting the assignments to. So they will bring it up to you, you know, and it, as you're in kindergarten and first grade, it's perfect time to show them and model for them how often you bring up assignments, whether they're due the following Monday, due that Friday, and you begin to build a system with them that they can take ownership. So like one of the things that our school does and very early on in kindergarten to help our children take ownership of writing, because writing seems so overwhelming to a kindergartner, especially if they don't know how to read and they're just learning their letters. You set up a writing station for them and you teach them that all you need to write is a writing utensil, like it could be a marker, it could be a pencil, it could be a crayon, it could be paint, paper, and drawings. Because the earliest form of writing was hieroglyphics, just pictures, right? To empower them that they are able. And it's phenomenal to see that once they feel that they are capable and able, and this is what I love about Montessori teaching. Like, I remember walking into that classroom at Sam, and I'm like, oh, the little broom. It's not just a playroom. Like, they actually sweep here. And, like, everything in the kitchen was miniaturized to empower them to recognize that they are capable and able. So the more that you do that, the less you're going to have to hold on to their deadlines and remind them over and over again and strategize for them. But it's giving them that space to become strategic themselves. Meme, another thing that has helped me relinquish the deadline pressure and taking it on myself and making it feel like it's mine is free play. Mm-hmm. Like giving my child room to play freely and to actually experience boredom. Mm-hmm. Because Torn Tribe, I'll confess, like one of my biggest issues is scheduling. I like a very rigid schedule. Because, I don't know, I just do. I'm still trying to figure out why I do. But every minute has to be accounted for. And I feel like we need to just move on to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. But if we do not give our children the ability to be bored, then we rob them of the opportunity to become problem solvers. And that's ultimately what deadlines are, is you have an assignment, you have to strategize and solve the problem of actually completing that assignment and handing it in on time. And so this school year, I've actually, on our homeschool days, have left half the day completely unstructured. And Torn Tribe, it's been hard for me to get used to that, because unstructured time in my house means very loud time. And my house shakes a lot because they're playing tag, or they've come up with their own fun and it's just not very quiet or orderly. But I am forcing myself and sacrificing my own comfort to allow them to experience that unstructured time. Because the more that I do that, I'm seeing them own their own assignments when given those assignments.
I would also say not to forget that the preparing, having what you need, remembering schedules, like Sophie has a 6-day schedule that includes the special little days that she needs to be, you know, she'll have art, she needs to be prepared for PE, or they have media, and I have her check what that is regularly and know the order and know what Monday it's going to be or how many days of gym you're having in a week, because it helps them with the executive functioning skills and being prepared and what they need from their laundry or what shoes they need to wear. And that's just as much a deadline or a preparation or a responsibility that they need to be prepared for. So if those are the things you can celebrate that they do really well, I would.
Yeah, because the goal is life skills, right? So, and that's part of letting go and letting them own their own timelines and be aware of the responsibilities and expectations that are being placed on them as they're growing up, so that in the end, they can have these life skills to function as adults like we do. So Torn Tribe, I hope you find that helpful. I hope this school year you let go some of the pressure yourself and equip your child to own their deadlines, and give them room to strategize and accept their working style.
And now for our men's segment, where we share a highlight from the week.
What's mending you?
I would say running, plus I just kicked off a woman's Bible study. And so the two kind of go hand in hand, because as I run, I listen to the teaching I'm going to give and the message that I'm going to deliver. And then when I show up for the actual study, the conversations that are had and the discussions that are shared have been enlightening. And what's really cool meme is that since I wrote this Bible study from scratch, it's actually like a huge blessing to see how each, and I did this like subconsciously, it's like each of the questions that I ask lead into each other. So that's like, whew, you know, it's like, oh, it does make sense when done, because when you're writing a Bible study by yourself, you know, it can make sense to you because you're writing it and you're really familiar with the text, and then you take it before 20 other people. You're just not sure if it's going to land as you had intended. So that's been mending, just seeing that the physical movement of running, driving creativity, right? So it's kind of like I'm experiencing the formula of like information meeting inspiration and producing transformation, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's knowledge, Holy Spirit, and change, and it's happening.
That's beautiful.
How about you?
I moved into a new office space, which I had mentioned. I realize I need to be in a space for a while to figure out how I want to, the functionality and what I want it to look like. And so currently my office does not look like me when you walk in, but I have the pleasure of like going through some of things I've had in other spaces. And so I found some quotes that I used to have in my space when I was just counseling and not leading the team, that I haven't had up in a while. And it made me think of our awe episode and like the journey. And so I've been doing some digging into like the quotes and the images or the things that have reminded me of my life journey, or my, I just heard a, my me search, was a phrase I just heard in a book. And so wanting to market, you know, I realized how distant I felt from those memories when we did our awe episode, and that I wanted a more physical anchor to each of the epiphanies and that those milestones in the journey. And so I've been like gathering to make myself like a specific poem and things in my office, but probably some sort of like collage final piece or frame of that for myself, with like images and words and things that, or lyrics to music or the cover of an album or things like that, that will remind me of those milestones and the epiphanies on that journey. So I'm enjoying digging into that and figuring out what that's going to look like.
That's so cool. And so when you're all done, you're going to have to share it on Insta so everyone can see the collage that you make with your quotes.
Yes.
And inspire on.
Yeah, I'm envisioning. I want to know how my school is going to feel about me wanting to put the man on the arena on my wall. I'm like,
stay tuned, Torn Tribe. Stay tuned.
I foresee a decal being printed.
So he's pushing the limits here. But Torn Tribe, we want to hear your mends, and memes tell our folks how to stay connected.
We are at TornMLB on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And we'd love you to drop us an email to tornmlb@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining.
Choose grace.
When you feel torn, choose grace.